from the SEC Radio Network, IMG Sports. He is Brad Law. Kind enough to join us now on the Stella Artois Hotline presented by Green Beverage. Last-minute Christmas shopping getting taken care of?
Well, somewhat related. Office Christmas party and derby game just got out of control and ran much longer than anybody anticipated. So, but, you know, hey, I've got what looks like a machine gun-like ammunition belt of chocolate-covered fingers. No, not actual fingers, but cooked in the shape to show for it. So,
wow.
I'd say a pretty good haul today.
Ain't no kind of party like a Winston-Salem party.
Listen, I think Dirty Santa's Dirty Santa in some places. It is an all-out brouhaha when we get together.
Ben Sutton will throw him a little party now. I've been to a couple of those.
Yeah. You got it. It was a good day.
Well, I apologize. I really hope I didn't cut that short.
No, listen, it's fine. I'm sure the chocolate and peanut butter fountains will continue to foam. And
well, the cop. I figured the cops had shown up, and that's why you went ahead and broke away. It was time.
Well, if you hear the Christmas music playing through the walls, you'll understand. No, I. Hopefully, my information is better than my punctuality. We'll put it that
well,
way.
Well, no. It's appreciated whenever you show up. The SEC and men's basketball trying desperately to get some people's attention. Alabama had a golden opportunity night before last, could not quite get it done, losing 53-52 to Wichita State. There have been some good wins. Then we have last night. Tennessee can't follow up a win. Let's start there. Tennessee had an upset over Butler in Knoxville. Had a chance to get a game in Raleigh, but Mark Guidford and company, not a bad squad, sitting there at 9-2. They hold off the Volunteers by 11.
With a couple of SEC transfers leading the way, Trevor Lacy, obviously, people at Alabama are very familiar with, 20 points and 6 rebounds, 4 assists in the game, and then Alston Turner, my goodness gracious, a former LSU player, 33 points, a career high, hit 8 threes in the game, and those two SEC, I mean, listen, Mark Dodson can get talent to a school. There's never, ever, ever been a question about that, and so he's convinced those former SEC guys to join him at NC State with what he's already got in place. And Tennessee, you're going to see a lot of this from Tennessee. There are going to be weeks throughout, even I think during the conference season, where Tennessee is going to beat somebody that you thought, you know, they didn't stack up very well against. And then the next game out, they might play somebody that you think, well, all right, they won the game on Wednesday or Tuesday, so they'll win Saturday. The opponent they're playing is not so good. And they may get beat by 15. It's just, it's inconsistency. Donnie Tindall is a good coach, but in his first year there, he's working with a completely different roster from the team that went to the Sweet 16 a season ago. So due to graduation, transfers, guys being thrown out, and, you know, it's just it's an interesting kind of gig, almost starting with a totally blank slate in Knoxville.
John Brady and Mark Gottfried had some legendary clashes, especially early in their tenures at LSU and Alabama. They actually became friends at the end of what would be both of their runs in the Southeastern Conference. But John gets to a Final Four at LSU. Mm-hmm. Now, Mark got to the Elite Eight. If he hadn't had to play UConn, he probably takes Alabama to the Final Four that particular season as well as they were playing. But while Mark Gottfried lands on his feet in Raleigh, North Carolina, as the head man at NC State, John winds up in Jonesboro, Arkansas, as the head man of the Red Wolves at Arkansas State, but he shows he can still coach. He takes that team into Starkville and wins last night. That's a tough one for the SEC as Arkansas State didn't win. They win by double digits, 69-55.
Yeah, and sort of kept Mississippi State at arm's length throughout the second half of that game, really thwarted any chance for Mississippi State to try and come back. You know, it's a state team. It's interesting. It's not like John Brady has the Arkansas State team at 9-0 to start the year. It's a team that struggled in losses to Lamar and UT Martin and on the road at Toledo 4 days ago or 5 days ago before going into Starkville. State's at a point now under Rick Ray. They started 5-0 on the year, and now they've lost four in a row. They're trying to find an offensive identity. They're not, you know, they're not a heavy scoring team, and Rockwell Johnson can give them a lot, but you know they need a second guy or a third guy. There's just not a dynamic guy that you see on the Mississippi State roster that you look at and go, well, he's going to be the superstar when they get into conference play. And so that'll be big. State, like a lot of SEC teams, is going to play, you know, several home games before starting, you know, these confidence-building games before starting conference play. South Carolina Upstate and, you know, the Jacksonville Dolphins and McNeese State and Florida State, which has struggled a little bit in the ACC this year. State needs to try and find that offensive identity as they go into conference play. They've scored 55, 49, 54, and 52 points in these last four games, all losses. Got to find some offensive rhythm and confidence going into league play.
Brad Law joining us from the SEC Radio Network and IMG Sports. Auburn gets a win last night. They win one of those games that they really need to this year. Not that it's easy. Winthrop's a pretty good little program out of the Big South. They were great under Greg Marshall for a long time. But this is one of those that they really needed to get. And Auburn played one of its better games. Simeon Bowers, I know from the little I have seen of them, Brad, he is the typical junior college All-American in that there will be those nights where you go, man, I see why he put up these incredible numbers. There will be other nights where you go, yep, I see why he may not have made it D1 coming out of high school.
Pat Kelsey, the Winthrop coach, last night after the game said, talking about Simeon Bowers, said he's like SpongeBob. He's as wide as he is tall. And that's from the Winthrop coach, and that's pretty accurate. With Simeon Bowers, this season has been all or nothing for Bruce Pearl. It's a double-double, or he's almost a liability on the floor. Bowers is good, close to the basket, an outstanding rebounder, as we've seen in six double-doubles in the nine games for Auburn this year. He sometimes has a guard and will handle the ball, you know, between the foul lines, and that's not something that Bruce Pearl wants to see with regularity. He's got some ability there, but hey, all the guards on the team that can handle the basketball between the free throw lines. They want Bowers below those foul lines and filling that role. What's interesting about Auburn now is they go through multiple home games before conference gets underway. Antoine Mason, the leading returning scorer in college basketball, was injured in the first game of the regular season. He came back in their loss to Clemson two games of the team that Winthrop beat earlier this year. So now Mason's back, and he provides some scoring balance with KT Harrell, who was the top returning scorer on Auburn's team. And then Trayvon Reed is a 7'2" freshman out of Maryland who's come in and added some size to balance Simeon Bowers. So because these new guys are in, and then Alex Thompson, who's a 6'9 guy, who picked up 8 rebounds last night as well, these are new players inserted into the lineup for Auburn. They're almost trying to start the season over again. Brand new chemistry, playing rotations, things like that Auburn will try to get worked out over the next 2 weeks before SEC play.
Brad, last thing before we let you go. Tonight in the SEC, two games that I think are very, very dangerous for conference teams, but winnable and probably will even fall in the should-win category. Certainly Ole Miss at home, Coastal Carolina. The Rebels have had some ups and downs with Andy Kennedy's team claiming a couple of nice victories in tournament. In fact, they beat Creighton down in I think it was Northwest Florida that hosted a tournament down in Destin, actually, a couple of weeks ago. They also beat Cincinnati down there, but they've lost to TCU. They lost a tough one at home to Western Carolina. Now they got the fighting Cliff Ellis, Chanticleers from Coastal Carolina coming in for a game, but also LSU at UAB. For the Rebels and the Tigers, those are basically must-wins right now.
They are, and it's, I think, especially dangerous in Oxford. Ole Miss is a team that lost, you mentioned the Western Kentucky, and all three of their losses this year. It's not an Ole Miss team that's, you know, their identity is they struggle on the road or in neutral sites. All three of those losses have come in Oxford. And so, you know, they'll play a Coastal Carolina team tonight that has gone into other schools' gyms. They went into Auburn and won 2 weeks ago. They're not going to be intimidated, even if Oxford starts or if Ole Miss starts well. They've got to play consistently for 40 minutes, and outside of Jarvis Summers, that hasn't been an easy ask of the Rebels this year. So consistency the key. LSU, still plenty of youth, but going into into Birmingham to take on a talented and balanced UAB team, I agree, must wins, and I think that even though they're on the road, I think LSU in a little better shape to do it than Ole Miss. I might put Ole Miss, if you want to call it an upset alert, but I'll put them on alert tonight against Coastal Carolina.